With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm going to describe a situation and I want you to see if you can identify with it, all right? A young woman has been learning English for a while now, and she can understand the majority of the things she hears in podcasts and on TV shows. But every time she has to speak with a native English speaker, she gets nervous. Her heart races, her mind goes blank, and she doesn't know what to say. She gets frustrated because she knows that she can understand English, but for some reason she hesitates once it's time to speak it. Now, if you said, yes, I can identify with this situation, Tony, finally someone understands me, then I've got good news for you, my friend. You are not alone. People learning English all over the world experience that same anxiety when it's time to have a real conversation with a native English speaker. But what if I told you that it's not just people learning English who feel that anxiety? What if I told you that the anxiety you feel is a universally felt and natural part of what it means to grow as a human being, and that there's a relatively simple way to get past it? Would you feel relieved? Would you be interested in hearing more about that? Well then, my friend, sit back and relax, because today, with the help of the stand-up comedian Joe Rogan and the legendary artist Be Real, I'm going to tell you how to get over your fear of speaking English with real people. Now, if you listen to the end and you're willing to take action, consistent action toward this goal, I promise you'll be on the path to becoming a more confident and effective English speaker. Now, if this is your first time listening to the show, hello there and welcome. This is Real English Radio. I'm your host, Tony Kai Zen. And I'm here to help you improve your English in a practical and interesting way. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and you want access to bonus episodes, or you just want to support my work, you can click the link in the description and subscribe on Patreon. And a big shout out to all my current Patreon supporters. Your monthly subscription enables me to keep bringing you this content, so I really appreciate each and every one of you. But now, my friend, it's time to get into this episode. You're going to hear Joe Rogan and Be Real talk about the anxiety that professional fighters and rappers experience before their first big performance. Now, I want you to pay attention to the way they describe the feeling. Try to imagine yourself in this situation and ask yourself if it feels familiar. I'm sure you'll see the connection between their experiences and yours.
There's parts of the mind that we can't tap into in a sober state that give us different abilities, right? Including strength, you know, tapping into something different. We're blocked from it.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think some of these things like PCP and others sort of maybe could unlock some of that.
Well, people definitely move better when they're on adrenaline. Adrenaline makes people very explosive, right? It's supposed to be there to get you to run away from something, right? To get the fuck away or fight or flight, right? Either you're going to fight, you get all this burst of energy out of nowhere. It's a wild drug, though, because like you ideally would want to be in shape and have very little adrenaline, because adrenaline jacks up your heart rate unnecessarily sometimes. Yeah. And so if you're really juiced up with adrenaline, your heart's at 170 beats per minute. If you start engaging in physical activity when you're already kind of gassing because your heart rate's already jacked, you're going to get tired quick.
Yeah.
That happens to a lot of fighters. First time in the UFC.
Yeah.
First time in the UFC is wild.
They gas out in that first round because of that.
Sometimes. Not so much anymore. Guys are much better at that now. It very rarely happens now. By the time dudes get to the UFC now, the quality and the level of fighter is very high.
Yeah.
And you're getting guys that are already very experienced, and they know how to do it. They don't just go full blast. Not all of them. I mean, it's rare. Occasionally it happens. But when you go through those smaller shows like the LFAs and these other small promotions, and you finally get that call, the moment they close that cage, you realize, oh my God, I'm on fucking pay-per-view. Yeah. There's Daniel Cormier. There's John Anik. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's you got to maintain composure and you're calm in there. And sometimes when you're new to it, and you're excited and the adrenaline rises, man, it's hard to stay composed. I mean, that happens with young rappers out there, right? The first show in front of like 10, 20,000 people, they've, let's say, rehearsed for weeks, a month, and they got the song down and their breath control is there and they sound great. But the minute they get on that stage and they see the enormity of it, it changes. The inexperience makes them forget everything they learned, and all of a sudden they're breathing heavy. They're trying to keep up with the song. They're not. They don't sound like the tone that's on the actual record, and it's all that nervous energy because of the inexperience. And you know, I would imagine with an MMA fight, going through that, man, that's got to be the toughest, because like you trained, you put the work in. Mm-hmm. And yet you're gassing out.
All right, my friend. I know there might have been some words or phrases that you've never heard before, so maybe it was challenging to follow that clip. But you can always rewind, listen to it again. I think on some podcast players, you can actually decrease the speed of the audio and stuff like that. You know, so don't worry too much about each individual word or phrase in that clip. What I want to focus on now is just the main idea of their conversation, okay? So, could you identify with those feelings of nervousness and anxiety that Joe and B-Real were describing? I mean, think about the fighter. A fighter's daily routine usually revolves around their training regime. They start their day early, around 5 or 6 a.m. with a light breakfast, followed by a warm-up session, and then they move on to more intensive training sessions to improve their strength, cardio, and fighting techniques. After the morning session, they take a break and rest for a few hours to recover from the intense workout. And during this time, they may watch fight footage, study their opponent's moves, and strategize their game plan. They might also consult with their coaches and trainers who help them improve their technique, plan their training schedule, and provide mental and emotional support. In the afternoon, the fighter goes back to training. They may work on their specific skills, such as striking or grappling, or practice their overall game plan. They may also do some conditioning work, such as running, swimming, or cycling. And after the evening training session, fighters usually have dinner and then rest, allowing their bodies to recover and prepare for the next day's training. And this includes getting enough sleep, staying hydrated, and following a healthy diet. In addition to their physical training, fighters also focus on their mental and emotional well-being. They may practice meditation, visualization, and breathing exercises to reduce stress and anxiety. And they may also work with sports psychologists or mental coaches to develop a winning mindset and manage their emotions during the fight. The life of a fighter is one of discipline, dedication, and hard work. They must be physically fit, mentally strong, and emotionally resilient to face the challenges of the sport. But guess what? Even after all the training, and all that preparation, both physical and mental, the fighter can still get to the ring, hear that bell go off, and freeze like a deer caught in headlights. How is that possible?
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And think about the rapper. When it comes to performing, rappers need to be on top of their game. They have to memorize their lyrics, get their breath control right, and make sure they have the right energy to engage their audience. They rehearse their songs and practice their lyrics until they can recite them in their sleep. They also work on their timing, making sure they can keep up with the beat and stay in sync with the DJ or the band. And breath control is also crucial, right? They need to be able to deliver their lyrics with power and precision without running out of breath on stage. So they do breathing exercises, they work on their stamina, and they may even modify their lyrics to allow for more breathing room when they perform. And they also practice their stage presence, working on their body language and movements to make sure they occupy the stage with confidence and energy. And in addition to their performance skills, rappers also need to take care of themselves physically and mentally. They may work out to stay fit and maintain their stamina. They may also practice meditation or other relaxation techniques to manage their stress and anxiety. So overall, preparing for a performance is a lot of hard work for a rapper. They need to be dedicated and focused and disciplined to deliver a great show night after night after night. But guess what? Even after all the training and all that preparation, both physical and mental, the rapper can still come out on stage for the first time, hear the screams of 5,000 people, see all those flashing lights, and freeze like a deer caught in headlights. How is that possible? And what about you, the English learner? You spend weeks or months or even years studying English, going to classes, listening to podcasts, watching movies. But when it's time to have a conversation with a real person, you freeze like a deer caught in headlights. You don't know what to say, right? You feel uncomfortable, maybe a little bit embarrassed at times. How is that possible when you spent so much time consuming this language? How is it possible that you can follow a 2-hour conversation between two natives, but you can't participate in the conversation with them? Well, it's possible because no matter how much you try to practice, train, and improve by yourself, the only way to truly be prepared for the real thing is by doing the real thing. In other words, the only way to be prepared and confident in a fight is to have fought many times before. The only way to feel prepared and confident for a live performance in front of 5,000 people is to actually perform for 5,000 people again and again until it feels familiar. And so I'm sure you can see by now that the only way to feel prepared and confident in a conversation with a real person is by actually having conversations with real people. It doesn't matter how much time you spend reading, writing, and listening. You must speak regularly if you want to speak well. Making conversation isn't something that one does passively, and it's also not something one can learn simply by observing. One must learn by doing. Those feelings of anxiety and unpreparedness upon speaking with the native will only disappear once you've done it so many times that it just comes to you naturally. And if you choose to keep avoiding it, those negative feelings will only get stronger over time. If you want to get better at making conversation with people, you simply need to have more conversations with more people. This real-world experience is what gives you the confidence to speak with anyone. And obviously, studying the art of conversation is crucial. I say that you can't learn how to do it simply by observing others, but that doesn't mean that observing others is not important. What I mean is that you must observe, interpret, and then act. You've got to take action every day. The development of any skill requires active participation on your part. So if you want to get better at making conversation with people in any language, try spending less time obsessing over the language itself and start studying the arts of communication. Find the answers to questions like, what compels people to speak? What's the difference between the way introverts and extroverts communicate? How does culture affect someone's communication style? How can I have a debate with someone without it turning into an argument? How does my tone of voice affect the way people receive my message? How do the words I choose affect the way people receive my message? What does it mean to listen attentively? The more you learn about communication, the more you'll see that language is just one of the many tools we use to facilitate communication. So having a strong command of the language is important, but only if you know how to use it to communicate effectively with others. Communication is one of my favorite subjects, and I'll definitely be diving deeper into it in future episodes. But for now, my friend, I encourage you to stop and ask yourself, what's stopping me from making conversation with real people every day? I have the internet. I have a smartphone. I can download apps and find people to speak with. So what exactly is stopping me from taking advantage of that? We've already established that fear is not an excuse. In fact, by taking advantage of the opportunities you have to speak with real people, you'll inevitably get rid of that fear. So what's stopping you from taking action today?